Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, and Happy New Year. Happy 2014. It's amazing that we're already to 2014. I still have memories of being in 2012 and wondering if 2013 was going to come because of all the hype. How about you, Benny?
Oh, I'm going back to the millennium when everyone thought the world was going to break down.
Oh,
and
right.
Remember the zero and one code issue?
Oh,
and
yeah.
They had people standing by and
stocking up on water.
Thing, exactly. 14 years ago. Can you believe
yes,
that?
Time flies.
I know. Really you
does.
Blink. And then, of course, I have twin boys that are 3 in 7 days.
You know,
already also.
With parenting time, it flies by, doesn't it?
I'm waiting for them to start driving me around. That'll
yeah.
be great.
Yeah, well,
like,
I've
yeah,
got
a
13-year-old and a 19-year-old, and I know how fast it goes
oh,
from
yeah.
like, toddlerhood to college. But anyway, I have to tell you, you know, whether you're listening today on KKNW AM 1150 here in the Seattle area, WBLQ in the Northeast, cable radio network across the United States, or Transformation Talk Radio anywhere around the world, you're going to be so glad you've joined me for today's conversation. You know, typically the people I have on my show have written sort of self-help books. That's the genre. And it's really unusual for me to be drawn to somebody who has written a memoir. Because although memoirs are fascinating and people have amazing stories and journeys, oftentimes I don't feel the same kind of teaching points that come forward. And this show, it's really about offering information. I mean, information, not just like on the rational level, but on the deep knowingness level that can help transform your life. But when I read this book, this memoir, it's like, oh my goodness, this woman has had such an amazing story. And throughout her journey, she's asked some really important questions. And through the unfolding of her journey, has allowed the answers to come and has shared them with us. So it's just an amazing book. And the book I'm talking about is Unearthing Venus, and it's by Kate Montana. But let me tell you a little bit about her before I bring her on. You know, she really went from, you know, like the typical woman growing up in the 50s, 60s, 70s, where, you know, it was a time to sort of break through. And although she resisted feminism, she basically did her part for feminism as we once thought of it, breaking through the sports that are televised. And she's going to share that story. And she's gone on as a journalist in a variety of ways. She's the former publisher of the online magazines, The Global Intelligencer, as well as The Bleeping Herald, that was based on the international hit film, What the Bleep Do We Know? She has written hundreds of articles that have been published in places like the Seattle Post-Intelligencer and the Tacoma News Tribune. She was a Northwest bureau chief for the national Native American newspaper Indian Country Today. And, you know, she freelanced, as I said before, as a TV editor. And get this, for, you know, the mainstream giant, you know, giants in the television industry, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, ESPN, and BBC. She's the co-author of the screenplay Zentropy. And she's also the author of The Return, which is a spiritual thriller. And she's the author of the film adaptation of A Gathering of Selves. She's the author of this book I've been talking about that I absolutely love, called Unearthing Venus, Search for the Woman Within. And she's also the co-author of Heart of the Matter, Discovering Gifts in Strange Wrapping Paper. It's a Hay House book with Darren Weissman. And she's also the co-author of Ghetto Physics, Refining the Game with What the Bleep Do We Know, creator Will Arntz. Anyway, it is my pleasure to introduce to you Kate Montana. Kate?
Hi, Christine. It's so weird having someone list all this stuff, and I sit here and listen as if I'm just one other person in the audience. Right. And I'm like going, wow, who is that person?
You're pretty amazing, aren't you?
Nothing like perspective, right?
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, when we're living in the trenches, so to speak, it's hard for us to get that bird's eye view. But you really have had an amazing life. And as I said before, your memoir in Unearthing Venus is such a fascinating story. And it's a story that I personally connected with in a variety of ways. And, you know, I've got lots of questions for you about things like feminism and divine feminine and sexuality and cultural differences and problems with what we're experiencing in our culture today and how to transcend these problems. But first, I think it's important for our listeners to get a sense of your journey. Can you share with us, how your life has unfolded to get you from point A to point B?
Which point A are we talking about, Christine?
Well, you know, really, you might want to summarize briefly about your childhood, but then I'm really curious about the early stages of your career and how you got into TV editing and what unfolded within the era of feminism.
Okay. I was born in 1951, and, you know, the era of Leave It to Beaver and Beaver and Father Knows Best.
Sure.
And so it was a strangely schizophrenic era where, you know, women were starting to come to the fore. They'd entered the workforce after World War II, a lot greater freedom. And yet at the same time, we were locked into these amazing sexual stereotypical roles where the woman still served the man. And that was just the way life was. And
right.
I'll never, you know, my mom would take my stepdad's coat and hat every evening as he would walk through the door, and he'd hand them to her, and she'd hang them up like
was,
you know, like a servant. And then she'd go mix him a drink, and you know, she did everything but bring him the, you know, the pipe and slippers routine.
Right.
And so there was that on one side. And then there was the in the 60s, the exploding women's lib generation and thoughts coming to the fore.
Sure.
But, you know, it's interesting, Christine. There was never a time, even in my youngest years, where there wasn't something in me that wanted to be as good as the guys.
Uh-huh.
I was driven to, you know, in the playground at school to play with the boys, not because I wanted to be a boy, but because I wanted to beat the boys.
Yes, exactly. I'm so proud of myself because in fifth grade, I was the fastest runner and I beat the boys. And so I was the same way. And it's like, okay, you know, arm wrestling. Okay, I'm at it, you know, and that shifted by junior high or high school. But there were other realms in which I wanted to compete with men and males.
Uh-huh. I was absolutely driven. And it never occurred to me to reflect on that or even wonder about it until, you know, fast forward 48 years and I'm investigating the whole gender topic that that surrounds Unearthing Venus. Uh-huh. And so, you know, that it's been this, writing a memoir has been this huge recapitulation of my whole life.
Sure.
And looking at it through the gender lens, which has really been astounding. And, but, you know, just like you, wanting, never knowing anything else but wanting to be as good as the guys. Mm-hmm. I think we were both born into this generation of women who were ready, who were, you know, we were in this vanguard, ready to take human evolution and transformation from the old, you know, gender stereotypical models to, oh my God, the women are going to like march into the masculine side of the camp.
Right.
And learn the other side of the coin.
Sure. And so you did that marching and ended up in, get this, sports?
Yeah,
televised sports.
Television. I'd always wanted to be a writer, and I was working on my master's degree in journalism at the University of South Carolina, and I was bored out of my freaking skull.
Mm-hmm.
I just had never really fit into the whole left brain educational model, although I forced myself eventually to go there because it was just dreadful, kind of like being the class dunce.
Right,
so, you
right.
know, I ponied up and decided to be a good scholar. But I wanted out of school, and I was dating a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, and I used to hang out at the radio station with him. And one thing led to another. I met some of the engineers at the affiliate TV station. I took a tour of the TV station, and it was like instant love at first sight. It was lights, camera, action.
Yeah, and it's an intense realm to work in.
A very intense realm to work in. You know, and it never crossed my mind to be perturbed that the only reason I was approached and hired as a videotape editor in engineering production was because they didn't have any women. Actually, no, they had one woman in production. And the Equal Opportunity Employment Act had been passed. And so the station and other stations like them were desperate to fill quotas.
So you were the token woman.
Was the token woman.
In that era, they probably thought of you as the token gal.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And of course, in that environment, you had to be twice as smart, twice as fast, twice as accurate as the guys. Or at least that was the mindset I had. That was the fear that I had in me. Plus, that was all married to my own innate competitive nature that was just wanted to go for it in the man's realm.
Sure. And wanting to prove yourself within that realm and wanting to be successful, I'm sure that there were several things you had to give up. And we're going to go on a quick break here, but when we return, more with Kate Montana. And Kate, when we return, I'd love for you to share about what kinds of self-sacrifices you had to make in order to live within the male world.
Okay.
When we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
I stay up, cashing in my bad luck. Some nights I call it a draw. Some nights I wish that my lips could build a castle. Some nights I wish they'd just fall off.
Are you ready to move past limiting beliefs and unconscious obstacles that are holding you back from financial prosperity? Do you want to be free from debt and that feeling of being disempowered? Mary Jane Allen is a financial healer and joy creation specialist who uses her unique set of tools included in her financial healing process to help her clients move past those beliefs and fears. For more information and to contact Mary Jane, visit her website, manifestyourlifedream.com, and begin your financial healing process today.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Where do you desire to go in your life? Are you only looking outside yourself for the answers? What if you use your soul's wisdom to lead the way? So what is the soul, and how do you access its wisdom? Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen will unpack these questions and help you tap into and trust your own inner voice to solve everyday problems. Our Soul Suitcase is a treasure chest of wisdom inside us waiting to be discovered. Listen to Soul Suitcase while Victoria Cohen takes everyday situations like job loss, relationship struggles, parenting challenges, work stress, and health concerns and shows you how awakening to your inner voice helps you make more conscious choices where your life flows more smoothly with greater clarity, purpose, grace, and ease. As a psychotherapist and soul coach, Victoria has inspired thousands of clients over the past 31 years to listen to their inner wisdom and let it guide them on their true path. You can learn this too on Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen. Your soul suitcase is packed. Are you ready to start your journey?
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
I still see a gospel.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today with Kate Montana, the author of several books, including her latest, Unearthing Venus, which is a wonderful memoir. Now, Kate, you basically bared your soul within the context of this book. First of all, I want to say how brave of you. You know, I'm writing a book myself right now, and it's like, okay, how exposed do I allow myself to be, or do I just let it all hang out? And you really did just sort of get it out there with all sorts of things, including things you didn't necessarily need to share on some level. And it's makes it so much more powerful because you did.
You know, I think the important thing is, and the reason I had to go there, Christine, because we've lived in such a paradigm of the, you know, John Wayne stiff upper lip kind of approach to living, where everything is locked and guarded and structured, and we've got to present ourselves in certain ways so that we appear powerful and strong and viable as human beings, both men and women. And you know, and the truth of the matter is we're all incredibly fragile. We're incredibly strong. We're incredibly vulnerable. We're incredibly courageous. We're this mixed bag. And if I was going to be, you know, the whole crux of the book is about discovering and unearthing this more vulnerable, repressed place in myself that has the label on it, the feminine, but which is this qualitative, intuitive, available, nurturing, pliable, responsive, diffuse, nurturing, multidimensional, intuitive, holistic space. Now, if you want to label that the feminine, well, you know, that's you know, those are the characteristics that we do regard as the more feminine qualitative characteristics of being a human being. And so to, you know, how could I write a book about that, which is actually why I had, it took me 12 years to write this book, because I kept trying to write a book about the feminine, and I couldn't do it, and I didn't know why, but it was because I was strictly approaching it from a left brain, really, really masculine, structured, objective, you know, rigid place.
Right. That's sort of an oxymoron, writing about the feminine from a masculine place.
Exactly. Well, you know the old saw about you teach best that which you need to learn the
most. Oh, yeah. I know that one big time.
Apparently, it's really true.
Yeah. So, you know, in this book, you talked about how you broke into, you know, the television industry in the realm of sports, which is a very male-dominated field. And, you know, you were extremely successful. Now, during the time when you were experiencing that, did you feel like you were giving anything up?
Yes, and no.
Okay.
To be perfectly honest, no. I was so hot on being a success in terms that my culture had trained me to view success in, which meant a highly viable, high profile, good paying job.
Sure.
And you know, and any job was already in the masculine arena because, you know, unless you wanted to be in the secretarial pool or a nurse, you know, those were or a governess, you know, those were the feminine roles. Everything else had already been created, you know, masculine roles for men. And so that's all I wanted. So, you know, I didn't, it wasn't until 40 years later, looking back on my life, writing this book, that I realized that, oh my God, I sacrificed a whole half of my being to go out and to do the kind of job that I did. Sports television is incredibly competitive. I mean, you make one, you screw up by a couple of seconds, and you fluff a commercial break, or you clip audio on air, or, you know, whatever. It's like, God help you if you flubbed a replay. You know, they say, well, you know, we want to see that holding foul, and you know, and you miss it, and you never get hired again.
Sure.
And I watched a lot of men come and go. I actually came in the back door working for ABC, the first Monday Night Football in season in 1978 at Busch Stadium in St. Louis, because the National Association of Broadcast Engineers was on strike.
Right.
So I was a filthy scab,
uh-huh.
and you know, went through the strike lines, and I was the first woman that ABC ever hired as a roadie engineer,
uh-huh.
and I did a good job, and that was what launched my sports network career. So I ended up on the road for about 9 years, working everything from motocross to professional tennis to, you know, you name it.
Right. And on some level, that sounds really exciting and very fulfilling. And yet eventually you chose to exit that. Why?
It was exhausting. And there was, you know, I was either in a sports truck editing or, you know, telecasting a sporting mm-hmm. event, or I was, you know, hanging out with a 40-man crew afterwards in a sports bar,
uh-huh.
rehashing what we did or watching other networks' coverage of some other football game someplace
sure.
in the country. And it was a very lopsided, very aggressive, very, you know, high-stress
mm-hmm.
Life. And I had no room for emotions. I had no room for connection. All I wanted to do was get my way to the top of the heap and be the best.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and after 9 years of that, and plus the pressure of live sports telecasting, it was just like my adrenals were shot. It's
sure.
It's interesting. I ended up living in a little isolated one-room cabin in the middle of the North Georgia mountains for 3 years. No running water, no indoor plumbing, not even electricity for the first 6 months. And I sat in that cabin after all my years in television, and it was really wonderful and beautiful, and I was communing with nature and felt
sure.
really, really great. But I realized that I was sick. I had
uh-huh.
I was exhausted. I thought I had chronic fatigue syndrome.
Sure.
You know, it was delightful being, you know, living in a little cabin and just saying to hell with the world. But,
uh-huh.
you know, I was like, oh, my God, I've really paid a price for this. And it was really amusing, Christine, because I had just about to make an appointment with a doctor to get some blood work done, because
uh-huh.
why was I feeling so tired all the time?
Sure.
What was wrong with me? And I was meditating one morning a week before my doctor's appointment, and I understood I wasn't sick. I was relaxed. I didn't know the difference. I didn't know what relaxed felt like.
Oh, because you weren't feeling the drive to do.
Exactly. I'd been leaning in
uh-huh.
for over a decade.
Yeah.
And it was like, and I didn't know any other way to operate. And I didn't know any other paradigm existed.
Sure. Well, you know, when I was reading your book and hearing you talk about your story now, I was sort of surprised that you went from, you know, living in nice condos and having this easy life in some sense in terms of the physicality of it,
mm-hmm.
the surroundings, and you chose to go to this cabin in the woods that had no running water, and yet that retreat played an important part of your journey, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, yes. It was the beginning of my unearthing of the feminine, although I didn't think of it in those terms. I had simply done the whole success routine in terms that my parents and my culture had educated me to believe equated success. You know, I'd graduated from college, I'd gotten a hot career, I was making
sure.
a lot of money, I married Mr. Wright, you
mm-hmm.
know, a guy from the same socioeconomic bracket as
sure.
I was in,
yeah.
and that marriage failed after only 2 years. And so, you know, I'd like done the formula
mm-hmm.
and come up at age 33 with a master's degree in psychology, because I was really bent on trying to figure myself and the rest of the world out.
Sure.
And human functioning and what is this thing called consciousness and the mind anyway. And so that was the beginning of the turning in, because I'd done all the exterior stuff, and it hadn't fulfilled me, and it hadn't made me happy. It
uh-huh.
had exhausted me.
Right.
And yes, it had been wonderful and thrilling and very fulfilling on one level, but at a certain point, it was, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's like you can't make a meal on chocolate all the time.
Sure, sure, yeah.
And so, yeah, so it was this great beginning of the turning within, and I taught myself to meditate,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was going to be a simple endeavor. Ha, ha, ha.
Yes, quieting the mind.
Quieting the mind.
Still.
Yeah, right. And what a journey that took me on. Uh-huh. Oh, my God, because all of a sudden there was a genuinely lived, breathing experience called the spiritual life.
Yes.
And I for the first time, I began to tap into a reality called spirit. Right. Rather than just some dry word that, you know, my pastor had mouthed from the pulpit, you know,
sure,
in the Episcopal
sure.
Church I was raised in for, you know, 20 years.
Yeah, and when you tune in, it's actually palpable, isn't it? That our spirit, that energy that flows through us. When
absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, before we're going to need to go to break in just a couple of minutes now, but I want to make sure that people know how they can get a hold of your book and how they can find out more about you. Can you share your website with us, please?
Absolutely. They can easily find my book on Amazon.com, Unearthing Venus, My Search for the Woman Within. And my website is www.unearthingvenus.com. And I can be reached directly at Kate, C-A-T-E, at unearthingvenus.com.
Yeah, and of course, you can get this on Amazon and
Barnes and Noble.
Find on bookshelves in the physical book, you know, stores as well. You know, Kate, when we return, I'm going to want to hear more about your perspective on spirituality and how it has changed over the years, because you just talked about it, tapping into it through meditation. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of curious about your perspective on, do you need to have separate sacred space and time in order to experience spirituality or not? So we'll have more with Kate Montana here on the Christine Upchurch Show in a few moments. Stay tuned.
You know I'm gonna get you, yeah. Whatever it takes to get there. No, I won't drop you.
Hey, do you like free stuff? The Dr. Pat Show has an amazing giveaway program doing weekly giveaways on Facebook and Twitter. Go to Facebook.com/TheDrPatShow and click the like button. Then go to Twitter.com/TheDrPatShow and click the follow button. Then you can play along and enter to win some amazing prizes. Again, that's Facebook.com/TheDrPatShow and Twitter.com/TheDrPatShow.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tune in Thursdays at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern to Spirit Guidance Radio with Shannon Walbrand on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show with South Africa's top psychic will amaze and uplift you. Call in to receive detailed, specific answers that offer immediate solutions as Shannon interprets messages from your spirit guides. Whether it's love, business, or health, your spirit guides are ready to help. Visit ShannonWalbrand.com for more info. You are guided.
Feel like you just can't find your happiness? Want to move past old hurts or traumas? Not feeling comfortable in your body? Consider an intuitive healing session with Christy Borst. Christy has a divine healing gift, and her process will help you experience a perspective reboot. Release that which no longer serves you. For more information and to contact Christy, visit healingresonance.us. That's healingresonance.us.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today with Kate Montana, the author of Unearthing Venus. Now, Kate, you know, you talked about how in your journey you went from, you know, working in sports television, really intense job, being extremely successful, and then retreating to a one-room cabin without running water. So retreat played an important role for you in terms of your spiritual development. Now, over the years, have you found that retreat is of some sort or another, whether we're talking about meditation in the morning or, you know, actually physical retreat, have you found that to be an important part of your spiritual connection?
It's been a vital part of my spiritual growth process. And I hasten to say my spiritual growth process. Certainly everybody's path is absolutely unique. I was a nature child from the get-go, being raised on a farm in Virginia. And
sure.
So after going into the hectic world of sports, it was a really natural place for me to go back out into nature. Having been raised on a farm, it was easy for me to go and live in a cabin in the middle of freak all nowhere with no indoor plumbing.
Right.
It was just natural for me. Whereas for somebody else, it would just be the antithesis of anything that they would find reassuring. So for me, it worked divinely well. Nature operates at such a high frequency level of, it's so undisturbed.
Yes.
Living in, when I spent the years I did in Costa Rica and in South America, oh my God, being in the jungles on the coast of the Pacific Ocean, there was no interference patterns. We used to joke amongst the expats that were down there going, it was an incredibly psychic environment to be in because there just weren't any people.
Right.
There weren't any transmission lines. There was very little power grid. And so things would show up like magic down there in the jungles. It was scary to people how quickly things manifested because there just wasn't anything blocking it.
Right.
So it was a very important time for me going into that country situation again. And my God, I've been on the quote-unquote spiritual path now for over 30 years, so it has changed very much. It's actually been hard to let go of the thought patterns that, oh, gee, I have to meditate every day.
Right.
And I've 30 years down the road, after doing a lot of inner work and a lot of isolated, hermetically sealed in the cave kind of, meditation approach, I'm now just like, okay, I'm in a different place. And I'm just walking through life, and that's the meditation.
Yeah, and you know, I think that there are a lot of people out there who have been on their paths who feel guilty or feel somehow, you know, self-judging if they don't take that time and space. And from my perspective, anything can be sort of that meditative connecting approach. It doesn't have to be within the context of closing our eyes and having our body be still, but rather through our life. You know, I have some of the greatest connection when I'm driving and stuck on the freeway. You know, it's really about allowing that flow, the surrendering to that connection, our divine connection, and allowing that to come through and being the observer of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's called life, Christine.
Yeah.
And, you know, and life is spirit.
That's right.
You know, we pay lip service to, you know, yes, the material world is God, source, the is, conscious, whatever you want to call it, the quantum field made manifest. And, you know, but it really is. Life in the body is where it's at. That's where we're at, where I'm at. And it's so interesting because, again, writing this book has given me such sensitivity to the gentrification of things, and I've realized now from my perspective how very masculine the New Age movement spirituality has been, really riding right on the coattails of the more, you know, Abrahamic Christian religion. It's very much focused on the light, which mm-hmm. is masculine in the Taoist, the light, and intelligence is masculine in quality. It's about, you know, getting out there to God. Uh-huh. There's still the hangover of the body being this, being the obstacle to
yes.
finding God.
Yes. And also the retreating part, according to Dr. Joe Dispenza, he talks about how with the brain, with the male brain, in order to have that right brain connection, they tend to need to just retreat and focus, whereas the female brain has more connections between the left and the right hemispheres. And uh-huh. so that intuitive connection and the analytic connection goes back and forth, back and forth. So with the female brain, we tend to have the ability to sort of go with that flow back and forth between our connection and the material world and the connection to the material world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I remember I was reading a book on anthropology one time about the Aboriginal tribes in Australia and how, you know, and I was reading this chapter on initiations, and the men had the initiation at 4 and at 7 and at 9 and at uh-huh. 13 and right. at 19. And, you know, and all through their lives there's this initiation after initiation for the men. And I got to the women's initiations, and there was one. And mm-hmm. it was the whole predictable, you know, you get shoved in the menses hut.
Right.
When you reach menses. And I remember throwing the book across the room because I was just like, as a liberated feministic woman,
right.
I was like, oh my God, you know, we don't even get a fair shake in the spiritual arena. We uh-huh. only get, you know, our initiations are based on biology. Well, to hell with that.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, again, fast forward a little bit wiser and older, I'm looking going, oh my God, it's just like what you said, and what Joe talks about, is the feminine is already hooked up.
Yes.
The feminine doesn't need to be beaten into a pulp to be humbled and to get off this whole competitive, aggressive prowess, you know, me better, ugh, kind of approach. Sorry, Benny. You know, that is more masculine in tone.
Yeah.
The tribes were very wise. They realized that the men needed great deal of tempering to humble them and make them more aware of their own intuitive capacities
sure.
and hook up to life.
Right, right. And so all those many times they had to go out for their initiations was a part of, you know, creating that connection that was mm-hmm. so much more natural in females in general. Of course,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So in terms of the feminine, I mean, clearly throughout this book, you're exploring what the feminine nature is, what the divine feminine is. And within the context of our culture, does it exist, say, in the United States?
The divine feminine?
Yes.
I would say she's incredibly absent.
Mm.
It's really interesting because when I first started this journey, I was so masculine in my orientation, I couldn't help but be.
Right.
I was raised like the hundreds of millions of other women of my generation, and to this day, I was brought into a masculine world
sure.
that had been created by men for men. I'd been educated through a masculine educational system designed to mold men and prepare the male for the male marketplace,
sure.
which is hierarchical, top-down, competitive structure.
Mm-hmm.
All this very left-brain, unemotional, very non-compassionate, dog-eat-dog mentality. And so that was the world I was prepared to go into.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you know, I was liberated just like you were liberated, and all other women have been liberated to operate in that paradigm.
Uh-huh.
But that's not the liberation of the feminine spirit.
Yeah. So feminism, I mean, you know, I too worked in a sort of male-dominated realm. I went into the mathematics and did graduate work in statistics, worked as a statistician for many years, including in conventional medicine.
Wow.
And then through my own experience with facing cancer, with doctors having nothing to offer me, I ended up healing myself and kind of went into the energetic realm and, you know, much more the intuitive realm, the ethereal realm,
mm-hmm.
and totally shifted my life.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look back, it's like, when I was successful, I thought, oh, I'm doing something for women. I'm helping position us, higher up, you know, so that we are viewed more as equals. And yet, in a sense, I view the whole feminism movement as actually being detrimental to the feminine within our culture.
Well, my mind, it's been an education. You know, if the masculine and feminine, and I try to get away from genderifying those words, although it's impossible to do that.
Yeah.
You know, from the Taoist perspective, there are archetypal patterns.
Mm-hmm.
There are tendencies and qualities that typify male and female. Mm-hmm. You know, feminine yin qualities, you know, nurturing, intuitive, multidimensional, process-oriented, life-preserving oriented, passive, restive, peaceful, associated with darkness and the earth. And the masculine on the flip side, of course, is protecting and single-minded focus, intellectual, linear, self-oriented, goal-oriented, objective and separate. And we're complementary opposites, and every human being has all of those qualities in them. Women tend to manifest more on the yin side, men more on the yang side, and
right.
Of course, there's every variation in between.
Sure.
So I think that this whole liberation trend from the 20th century through now has been an amazing journey for women to educate themselves in the masculine paradigm.
Sure.
And to
makes
unearth
sense.
In them those yang qualities that had been missing and that they'd been out of balance in.
Uh-huh. Right.
Now I think we've gone way too far in that direction and totally lost track of what it is to be feminine. I mean, it's just like, God help you if you came across as this soft, gentle, responsive, pliable female in a statistics job.
Sure, exactly. Yeah, it didn't go over so well.
Field.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You wouldn't fare well at all. So, you know, you asked me earlier whether I had sacrificed anything. Yes, those are all of the aspects that I had to sacrifice to go out and be a success in male terms out in the world. So I think we're in this huge transition period, evolutionarily speaking, where, you know, and the men now are modeling more and more because, you know, the women are more masculine sometimes than the men anymore.
Sure.
And nature always seeks balance.
Uh-huh.
So if the women are going to be outdoing the men at being men, then the men are now having to balance the boat by being softer and more preserving and nurturing themselves. It's really fascinating. I don't even pretend to have a clue about how this is all going to play out in the long run.
Uh-huh.
But I know nature is in there innately balanced.
That makes sense.
And so everybody's struggling for their footing in this.
So
really fascinating that more men actually seem to be more receptive to the message of unearthing Venus almost than the women, because I've found that, you know, this whole striving to be successful, and we've put away so much of ourselves, and we've sacrificed so much of ourselves to become what we thought we needed to become.
Uh-huh.
And we've come from such a long, desperately negative, put-down, marginalized, genetic, soul-searing history of abuse and being owned like cattle.
Sure.
I mean, so we have so much to prove on a soul level.
Yeah.
That, you know, speaking for myself, I was desperate. It's what drove me. I had to succeed in the masculine model because of thousands of years of being abused by that model.
Mm-hmm.
So finally I could become a viable human being in my own eyes. And now I can turn around and embrace being soft and feminine and those other qualities that of vulnerability that I didn't dare exemplify when I was trying to learn the other side of the coin.
Right. Well, we're going to need to go to another quick break, but when we return, Kate, I'm going to want to get your perspective on what the word power actually means when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Tune in each Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the hit radio show that illuminates the heart-centered bond of animal and human as souls destined to find each other in a lifetime. Each week, this world-renowned animal communicator, through her live call-in show, will assist you in understanding animals as light beings, here to raise the vibrational level of this planet. They're ready. Are you?
Get insider knowledge about everything that is going on at Transformation Talk Radio. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com and enter your email to receive our newsletter. Stay updated on new hosts, inspiring guests, and good news articles from around the world. We look forward to having you join our community.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
ACT, Advanced Cell Training, is a restorative healing process created by Gary Blyer to address the body malfunctions that contribute to illness. This breakthrough learning program teaches health insights and principles, strategic integration of both traditional and alternative modalities, while clients train their own bodies to heal themselves. Visit AdvancedCellTraining.com. That's AdvancedCellTraining.com.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Kate Montana, the author of Unearthing Venus. Now, Kate, you know, as I said before, I absolutely love your book. It's taken me on this profound journey within myself just reading about your story. But one of the things that you talk about in this book is this concept of power.
Mm-hmm.
How do you view power? How did you once perceive power, and how has your perception changed over the years?
I totally had adopted the masculine definition of power as the power over somebody or something,
mm-hmm.
the ability to manipulate and control,
right,
and to basically to be able to be one up and at an advantage, and all of this is very physicality based, very survival based,
uh-huh.
very instinct based definition of power. When I started writing the book, there was this whole conversation with a shaman that led to the writing of this book that was all about what I saw was the power of women in the Amazon River Basin to tell the men to stop doing the destructive things they were doing, like cutting down all the trees and overfishing and overhunting. And indeed, it was part of the role of the women in these tribes in the Amazon to consciously balance male action by saying stop.
And it was respected, too, that they're vocalizing that, they're stating their positions was respected, is respect within that tribe too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that was the beauty of it. I mean, here's this primitive, quote-unquote primitive tribe down in the Amazon River Basin in Brazil, and they're very cognizant of masculine qualities and feminine qualities,
mm-hmm.
yin and yang qualities, and they organized their society so that the strengths balanced the weaknesses of the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm.
And the men knew that they were over-aggressive, that they were always on hyperdrive and, always, do going oriented, and they knew, and they understood that the women are more intuitive and in touch with nature and with the needs of the community and the tribe. So they organized the tribe so that women had the most important job of the tribe, which was to tell the men when to stop.
Right.
And, and that question was like, oh, my God, I looked around and I realized I'd been raised to be like the man on the, in the tribe.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know how to stop.
Right.
And so my whole beginning look at this whole question, I was obsessed with the question of what gave the women in those tribes the power
uh-huh.
over the men
right.
to tell them anything. And what you know, it's taken me 12 years to really understand that there's a whole other way of looking at power, and that power is the life source itself. It's the life force itself. You know, I don't think human beings really have power as human beings.
Oh, say that again. That's really profound, Kate.
I don't see that human beings as human beings have power. We can play power games and do power trips, and we can put these limited, you know, manipulative definitions onto what power is. But power is the raw, unadulterated life force that flows through all of us that makes all of it possible. And I don't think we have true power until we come into the dominion over our own limitations and see through them and see through these limited definitions of what power is or isn't, and learn that it's not about control. It's about absolute, unlimited expression.
Ah. And that doesn't that involve surrender and allowing?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it's all predicated on us opening this door to these dark, interior, unknown, wild, chaotic, creative places in our subconscious, which has long been understood to be the realm of the goddess.
Uh-huh.
You know, the goddess is more than, you know, this sweet bunch of women around standing in the moonlight holding hands and tossing flowers and praying for peace.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh my God, it's this untapped reservoir within us that allows everything to flow into manifestation.
Sure. And that's
the good, the bad, the ugly, and the indifferent.
Right. And that's incredibly powerful. Being able to manifest, I mean, so much of the control, manipulation, relates to this desire to manifest or this fear of not being able to manifest. And
absolutely.
Yet the surrender leads to more powerful manifestations.
And unknown experiences.
Yeah.
Because we can only manipulate so far without tripping ourselves up.
Right.
And it's been fascinating, you know, to see how very masculine the whole New Age spirituality and its focus on manifesting and basically, bottom line, manipulating our lives.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing wrong with setting goals and having intent and dreams and wanting to go in a certain position, you know, and do things. That's wonderful. But, man, we get into this whole power trip, you know, like I have to have power over life.
Mm-hmm.
I have to have power over my thoughts. God help me, I have to have power over my emotions. I have to have power over my body. I can't let any of those things run amok, or I'm going to screw up and I'm not going to, you know, get the prize at the end of the ball field.
Right. And then when we try to control all those things, then we just create worse and worse manifestations.
And then feel worse and worse about ourselves.
Yes, yes. And you know, people wanting to control their emotions is one of my pet peeves, because from my perspective, and same thing was true about, you know, our physicality. It gives us vital information about how we are connected and flowing, you know, from divine source, and how we are disconnected. And yet people think that we have to control all aspects of our being in order to, you know, further ourselves on a spiritual level.
Mm-hmm.
And that it just feels broken to me.
It is. It's the masculine model. It's the two-legged dog.
Yeah.
It doesn't operate as it's not effective, because it's only half the picture. It's only half the paradigm of what we really are.
Right.
So we look at our culture and wonder why it looks so broken, and it is broken.
Uh-huh.
And it's because we've been operating through this masculine lens of structure and this is what's right and this is what isn't right and this is what you're supposed to be and all of this stuff and so inevitably, as a species, we're having to come to this place to start exploring these shadows within us, these places that are in our subconscious that
mm-hmm.
do drive us. And the emotional ocean is enormous. Emotion has six, you know, the heart, the electromagnetic frequency and field strength of the heart is 60 times that of the brain.
Right.
You know, you can look at a storyboard and you can, you know, do a list all day long in your mind. But your emotions are what's going to really call forth manifestations and bring what you want into your life. It's the emotional, God, that's the powerhouse.
Yes, absolutely. And it's not just something to be controlled too, because it's you know, to control it means to, you know, keep it from flowing well. And that flow is an important part of the creation, the manifestation, and the information from the divine.
Exactly, because if I'm trying to control it, what's controlling it?
Yeah.
The only thing that's controlling it is my mind and the limited programs that my mind has adopted to think what's supposed to happen.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, you know.
As you just said, you just miss incredibly vital amounts of information that can lead you down different paths.
Sure. You know, Kate, this hour has flown by.
It certainly has.
I feel like we've got so much more to talk about. Will you come back onto the show?
Christine, I would love to come back on the show. This
Wonderful.
Has been fabulous.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us here today. Can you please, before exiting, can you please share with our listeners how they can connect with you and your wonderful book?
Absolutely. My book is Unearthing Venus, My Search for the Woman Within. It's at Barnes & Noble, other bookstores, Amazon.com. My website is www.unearthingvenus.com. And I can be reached directly at Kate, C-A-T-E, at unearthingvenus.com.
Wonderful. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, Christine.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in today. It's always a joy to have you here. It's always a joy to connect with you. And if you need to know more about me or listen to any of the archive shows, go to stellarreflections.com. Thanks so much. Talk to you next week.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, Stellar Conversations to Illuminate Your Journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.
You are listening to Transformation Talk Radio, the home of some of the world's most inspiring talk radio hosts. Please stay tuned at the top of the hour. We will be bringing you another amazing, educational, and inspiring show to get you on the path to transforming your life. For more information about us, please visit our website, www.transformationtalkradio.com. That's www.transformationtalkradio.com.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? beingyouclass.com.